Now it's Food Friday. With back-to-school time getting closer, it might mean the start of more late-night dinners as kids get back from sports practice or extracurriculars. So what can you cook when you're on the clock? Our next guest is here with some easy, healthy, and delicious dinners for those school nights. And you could join in at 800-642-1234. Do you have a go-to dish or kind of meal to make on that busy school night? Do you have a family favorite meal? To avoid the dishes, do you have a one-pot or one-bowl meal that you like the most? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or you can post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Aaron Clark is the creator of the recipe website WellPlated.com and the author of the Well-Plated Cookbook, Fast Healthy Recipes You'll Want to Eat. Aaron, welcome back to Central Time.
Thanks for having me. Great to be here.
Now, let's set the scene a little more. I've been there. You know, I get home from work. The kids are just getting home from practice or whatever. I would ideally like to have a meal that they can eat before they're in bed. This is a serious challenge for family cooks, right?
Oh, absolutely. It's a challenge. I think the question of what should we have for dinner is always on everyone's mind. And it's a question that you have to answer every single night.
Yep. Now, let's look at some different categories. One of my solutions, and you're a fan too, is the slow cooker. A little advanced preparation, obviously. Can you talk about the role of the slow cooker in answering that what's for dinner question?
Absolutely. The slow cooker is just such an effective tool because it gives you flexibility. I don't know about you, but at the end of the long day, when I come home, the last thing that I want to do is cook. You're tired, and that is a moment where you might be really tempted to turn to takeout or a frozen pizza. But if you've done the work earlier in the day with the slow cooker, it's almost like you are your own personal chef because you just get to come home, smell that wonderful dinner ready for you. I know that this is a favorite of my sister's too. She has four little girls, and so really the only time she ever has to herself is when they're napping. So the slow cooker lets her get everything ready for their dinner in advance. And then when the kids wake up, she can be there and not have to stress about dinner.
Well, the thing, I don't mind the cooking at that stage. It's the thinking. And that's having something in the slow cooker. You've done the thinking in advance.
Yes.
Now you gave us a recipe. You gave us a few recipes. One of them uses a slow cooker. People can find this at WPR.org/Food Friday. And this sounds awesome. A slow cooker honey pulled pork. Tell us about this.
Yes, when you are looking for a total crowd pleaser, as well as when you're looking for a meal that will really stretch your dollar, especially right now with grocery prices where they are, it is really hard to beat a pork shoulder or pork butt. The terms are used pretty interchangeably. And if you make a big slow cooker of pulled pork, you actually can, it's pretty much impossible to overcook it. So you can start it the morning of, it yields a whole bunch. It's not too expensive per pound. And the ways that you can use it just go on and on. We love to make sandwiches with some coleslaw on top. It actually makes a really delicious pulled pork quesadilla. If you're in a big hurry, one of my favorites that is really nutritious and just a no-brainer is to put it on top of a baked potato or a baked sweet potato, add some cheese, some chopped green onion, and it is just so, so tasty. And if this is great if you have a big household or a party of people you're trying to serve. Or like for me, we just have a household of two, but I love it because I can portion it and freeze it. And then just in the morning, all I have to do is pull out a container. Boom, dinner is good to go.
You mentioned, there's a couple things I want to follow up on the slow cooker honey pulled pork. First of all, you mentioned a couple cuts that you use. And that made me realize, reading this one earlier, something that went wrong. A bad pulled pork, I mean, it wasn't terrible. It wasn't great. I used a pork tenderloin. You say don't use a pork tenderloin for pulled pork.
No, pork tenderloin, I mean, don't get me wrong, pork tenderloin is absolutely delicious. It's great for fast dinners because it only takes about 15 minutes to cook it in the grill or in the oven or the air fryer. However, it is a very lean cut. And what lean cuts respond well to is kind of that quick and dirty, high temperature cook time, get them done before they have a chance to dry out. A cut of pork like pork shoulder or, for example, a beef equivalent would be chuck roast, which is really popular for pork roast. It's a really tough cut of meat with just a lot of fat in it. And if you were to just try to cook it right away, it would not taste good. But that low, slow cooking really draws out, like breaks down the fibers, breaks down that fat, and makes it this really luscious cut of meat. pork tenderloin doesn't have any fat to render. So instead of ending up with this juicy tender pork, you end up with, unfortunately, a hockey puck.
Yeah. Now, you also like to make your own homemade barbecue sauce for this recipe. Why do you like to do that as opposed to the store-bought?
Definitely. So, and I think it's pretty common for all of us, you know, when you're trying to think about ways that you can just eat a little better and some small tweaks that you can make, a really big lesson that I have learned is just the amount of sugar that is in a variety of different store-bought products. And a big place where it hides is tomato-based products like barbecue sauce, and ketchup is another big one, but particularly barbecue sauce. And I have found that I can create the same amazing flavor just using tomato paste, a little bit of pure maple syrup, which is a more natural sweetener, and it tastes just smoky and delicious, and some spices. So there's not only is it better for you, but there's just this immense satisfaction in knowing that you've created something from scratch. You know exactly what's in it, and also it's just absolutely delicious.
It's Food Friday. We're talking to Aaron Clark, creator of wellplated.com, zillions of recipes there, author of the book The Well-Plated Cookbook. She is helping us get ready for the school year, meals that are fast, easy to prepare on that limited amount of time between school, after school, and bedtime. You could join in if you have a question, if you are staring at this dilemma over the next few weeks, or if you found great solutions, if you have a family favorite that's easy to make, the kids love it. Hopefully you like it too. 800-642-1234 is the number. That's 800-642-1234. Okay, Aaron, another recipe you got for us. Egg roll. Well, that sounds fussy. Wait, egg roll in a bowl. So it's a deconstructed egg roll. Tell us about it.
Absolutely. So, I mean, who doesn't love egg rolls? Ever since I was a little girl and we were begging my mom to pick up takeout, we always, always, always had to include an order of egg rolls. But making an egg roll, while delicious, is kind of fussy. You need to make the filling, and then you have to stuff and form the egg roll. And then egg rolls are actually deep fried. There's a reason that we enjoy them as an appetizer. Well, I've discovered that you can take that same yummy filling with the ground beef, the shredded vegetables, and turn it into a fast 30-minute dinner. So it is a deconstructed, I call it egg roll in a bowl because it's kind of a deconstructive egg roll. You serve it over rice. And then what makes this recipe really, really fast is a bag of store-bought broccoli coleslaw. Chopping vegetable, you know, when you're trying to eat healthy and eat vegetables, the fact is, chopping vegetables takes time, and it's hard to find a workaround for that. But I find that broccoli slaw, which is just shredded cabbage, broccoli, a whole bunch of other veggies, it's amazing for throwing into stir fries because it takes zero prep. It softens and the taste becomes really mild, so kids don't mind it either. And I don't have to do anything other than open the bag.
Brianna, caller now at 800-642-1234. Dwayne is with us in Wausau. Hi, Dwayne.
Hey, good afternoon. So there's this, you know, it's chicken pepperoni, or it's called like Mississippi chicken. I like using boneless, skinless chicken thighs and breasts. Thighs give it a little better flavor. And then you just dump in those jars of either banana peppers in the brine, put the juice and everything in with the chicken, some ranch, seasoning packets, you know, one or two of those, and a little couple pats of butter, and 6 hours on, 7 hours on low or whatever. And man, you shred it up. And you can also use hotter peppers like the Giardiniera, I'm pronouncing that. But the
Sure.
chicken pepperoni is a good, easy.
And
You put it on buns or with mashed potatoes or rice.
that's when you're doing in, like you said, in the slow cooker, Dwayne.
Crockpot.
Crockpot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dwayne,
One time I
thanks.
said, oh, you do it at 6 hours on high in the microwave. And the lady goes, 6 hours in a microwave?
That would be a vaporized chicken. Dwayne, thanks a lot for sharing that. Yeah, I mean, you can get really fancy with crock pots, Aaron, or, and I've done this, I put in some chicken and some salsa and, you know, maybe a little spices. There are options to do things. It sounds like this chicken pepperoncini is pretty quick to pull together in the morning.
Yeah, it sounds fantastic. I've done that with Italian beef, where you use the jar of Giardiniera, or
Oh,
how do you
yeah.
pronounce that? That is really, that's a really good trick too, but I've never tried it with chicken. That sounds fantastic.
Thanks a lot for sharing that with us, Dwayne. We are talking to Aaron Clark on this week's edition of Food Friday. Aaron's the creator of the recipe website, wellplated.com, author of the book, The Well-Plated Cookbook, Fast, Healthy Recipes You'll Want to Eat. Aaron's with us to talk about how we can make back-to-school dinners that are quick, easy, healthy, and that people will want to eat, including young people. You could join in at 800-642-1234. Do you have a go-to where you keep the ingredients ready all the time for when you need that quick dinner? Tell us about it. Or if you have a question, if you need some advice from Aaron, you can call in too. Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our talk with Aaron Clark, cookbook author, founder of the cooking site WellPlated.com, talking to us about how we can make easy and delicious dinners for the back-to-school season when we are often on the clock. And you could join in at 800-642-1234. Do you have a go-to meal for this scenario? Do you have a question for our guest? Call in at 800-642-1234. Back to your calls now. Cyril is with us in Madison. Cyril, hi.
Hi there. Glad to have this subject for a discussion. I grew up with a stay-at-home mom, and we basically ate whatever was prepared for us, and that was that. My kids, I've been a stay-at-home dad for a lot of years, and it was my duty to prepare the food. And a lot of times, even though I know what they like, I would prepare something, and they'd come from school or wherever at the end of the day, and I'd tell them what I'd made, and I'd hear, "Oh, I'm not hungry for that," or, "Oh, I wanted something different," or even my wife would come home from work and say, "Oh, we had a smorgasbord at lunch, and I just don't have room for any of this stuff," so I end up with 3 days of leftovers, which mostly I eat because nobody else will.
Sorry, man. I've been there. That's the worst. Yeah, when nobody wants to eat what you've cooked. You pay for cooking lessons for those kids, and they can pull together their own meal. But do you have thoughts, Aaron? You know, sometimes I would do something like, you know, a variety, like a salami platter with cold vegetables, or I call it a relish tray or whatever you want, like something where you can kind of have a variety of stuff to pick out of to help preempt that fussiness. Any thoughts on ways to tackle that?
You know, that is really hard, and I'm sorry that you're going through that. I know it's a thing that happens to everyone, and it's just I hate it when I spend time on a meal and someone's like, "Oh no, that wasn't what I was in the mood for." I totally get wanting to say like, "Oh well, you can just make your own dinner then."
Oh yeah.
Which was probably what my mom would have said to us, to be honest.
Same.
With you. But I love that idea of kind of making it an assemble your own. I think there's a lot of fun things that you can do with that just get kids feeling a little more involved. And so something really fun to do could be a make your own baked potato bar, where you have a pot of chili, just some different toppings for the potato. Then if someone's really hungry, they want to put that hearty chili on top, they can. If your wife, for example, isn't super full, she might just want, you know, a handful of cheese. You even can add roasted broccoli to it to get another veggie in there. And then what is kind of nice about the different components too, is that if at the end people don't end up eating it, you can still have different options for ways to reheat the leftovers. Mm. So for example, if you did chili, you could do chili the next night with some toppings. You could do a chili dog. You could have the potatoes left over to enjoy as a side or as mashed potatoes. Just, I completely understand wanting to make the most of your efforts. And I just want to say that that's so commendable that you're doing that for your family.
Yeah, and think Cyril, taco bar, sandwich bar, wrap bar, like, so, oh, I'm fussy about that ingredient, but I'll eat this other stuff. Maybe, maybe that'll help. I don't know.
Make your own pizza is a fun one, and then you can just keep the dough in the fridge. If people want pizza, you make the pizza. If they don't, they can fend for themselves.
Yeah. Or flatbreads, don't even need to make a dough.
Oh, yeah.
Thanks for that call. Thanks for that call, Cyril, at 800-642-1234. Krista is with us now in Mequon. Krista, hi.
Hi, how are you?
Good. What's your selection? What's your go-to option, Krista?
Oh, well, recently I've just been doing these. It's called a sheet pan quesadilla, and it's fun to get the kids involved helping to make it, and it doesn't take very long at all if you want to do a hamburger or chicken or even a vegetarian option. I just saute up the red peppers or green peppers, whatever kind of peppers you want, and onions, and You can even use leftover chicken in this, which I've used, or you can fry up some hamburger. But you basically fan out the flour tortillas in a cookie sheet pan and fill the cookie sheet pan up with your protein and your vegetables and black beans and cheese. And then it's fun for the kids to fold it all up. You're kind of folding it up like a present. And then you put another sheet pan on top of it, and you put it in like a 375-degree oven, and it comes out nice and crispy in about a half hour, and we cut it up into slices. And then, like you guys were talking about, you can add your own toppings or lettuce, and it's great for leftovers because it, you can pull it out of the fridge and eat it cold or warm it up again. It's just a good meal for the kids to get involved in making. And it's a good thing to enjoy for a crowd, too. So I've made it for parties. And
fantastic.
Krista,
and
it's
thanks.
It's on Pinterest. You can see it on Pinterest all over, but it's a good thing to make.
Krista, thanks a lot for sharing that with us. Yeah, I do something like that. My version of chilaquiles is very inauthentic, no matter how you want to define the word. Aaron, anything like that, like a quick oven? Yeah, it's basically a casserole, a quick assembly casserole. Anything that that you think of in that category?
First of all, I am hungry after hearing that.
Well, it's Food Friday. I'm always, my mouth's watering.
That sounds delicious.
Yeah.
You know, sheet pan, I just say if you have a sheet pan, you've got a plan. It is just one of the most amazing, versatile tools. I love anything that minimizes my cleanup because even though I love to cook, I despise doing dishes, as I suspect do most of us. So whatever, I'll do something where whatever vegetables I have left in my fridge at the end of the week, you know, maybe half a head of broccoli here, red bell pepper there. I'll chop it up, add some salt, pepper, you know, and then whatever seasoning I'm in the mood for that night. You can do a version with, you can add Italian seasoning. You can add chili and cumin if you want to go that Southwest route. Get the vegetables started, and then at the end, we'll throw on shrimp. We'll throw on boneless, skinless chicken breasts, and then everything finishes cooking together on that same pan. And if you go to my website, wellplated.com, I have a category called One Pan Meals, and I have dozens of sheet pan recipes in there. I just love them. I love them.
Thanks again for that suggestion, Krista. It's Food Friday. Erin Clark is with us from wellplated.com, author of the Well Plated Cookbook. She's helping us develop some go-to meals for after school, because school is coming back soon. We'll go back to your calls in just a moment. But Aaron, I wanted to ask about a third recipe you shared with us at WPR.org/Food Friday. You call it homemade hamburger helper. I'll call it that too. To market it in your own household, I understand you had to come up with another name.
Yes, I did, because my husband, and I have to say, I had a little bit of baggage from hamburger helper myself. I think I called it like creamy beef and noodles. I think we all have this idea of, or at least I did, this idea of hamburger helper as something that was kind of a last resort. You know, you probably don't have the most like nutritious attitude towards it, and for good reason. But there is just something so comforting about noodles and a creamy sauce with ground beef. I came up with a way to make it from scratch that is just in one pot. So you have your sauce, cook your ground meat, and then you add the noodles and liquids straight to the same pan. And not only does that save you from having to boil a separate pot for pasta, but also because the noodles cook in the sauce, they release starches, and that makes the sauce really rich and silky. I also add, I know hamburger helper sounds, this is going to sound like the funniest adjective ever to use in a sentence with it, but I'm telling you, this hamburger helper truly tastes gourmet, if there can be such a thing. I add a little smoked paprika, a little bit of hot sauce, and a little bit of Dijon mustard, and it just elevates the flavor. I love this dish because it touches on the nostalgia of my childhood, but it is a meal that I genuinely enjoy. All my friends enjoy it. I've made it for my nieces multiple times. It's easy on cleanup, and it's good for you too.
Find that at WPR.org/Food Friday, along with a couple other recipes from Aaron. Back to your calls now. Liz is with us in Menominee Falls. Hi, Liz.
Hi, thanks for taking the call. I would love other ideas for vegetarian meals. One of my kids has really become pretty much primarily vegetarian. Whether it's slow cooker or in the oven, what other ideas do you have that's vegetarian?
Liz, thanks for that call. Aaron, that egg roll bowl, you can make that vegetarian. You had thoughts, I think.
Absolutely. You can. I don't know how your kids feel about tofu. I always say that with a little hesitation because I think that people have really fixated idea of what tofu is, with what tofu is being gross or bland or mushy. And you know what? Tofu can taste gross or bland or mushy, but it can also be absolutely fantastic. When you crumble it and saute it, it gets a little crispy and it is almost symbolic of like meat crumbles. There's another plant-based protein called tempeh that also really can taste a lot like meat. It's just, think of it as a blank canvas and you can season it any way you want. One of my favorites is I do kind of a copycat P.F. Chang's lettuce wrap that is in my cookbook, where you saute tofu with mushrooms in this really rich hoisin sauce. It's so satisfying. And I've served it to multiple friends and nobody ever thinks that it's tofu. Some other great dishes that are vegetarian, you can't go wrong with different noodle stir fries. Again, you can add tofu if you want to add some protein. I love doing casseroles where, if you think of a classic chicken and rice casserole, a way that you can kind of remake that is instead to do quinoa, because that is higher in protein. Add some veggies like sauteed broccoli or carrots, whatever your family likes. And then I like to toss a can of white beans in with that. Beans are a fantastic source of protein. You still get that cheesy, hearty, comforting casserole feeling without the meat. And I'm a big proponent that, yes, like, meat is delicious, but it does not have to be the star of the show. And you can absolutely have a satisfying meal that doesn't involve meat. So I would just encourage, say, think about those white beans in your casserole. Think about different things that you can do with soups and vegetarian chilies. And then there's a lot of great vegan stir fry options out there too.
Liz, thanks for that call. And Aaron, that's all the time we have. Thanks again for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
That's Aaron Clark, creator of the recipe website, wellplated.com, author of the book, The Well-Plated Cookbook, Fast, Healthy Recipes You'll Want to Eat. Aaron helped us get going on our back-to-school cooking with some easy, tasty meals. Find recipes from Aaron at WPR.org/FoodFriday.